Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is Anne-Marie Beggs from the Paragraph Challenge, and today I have Mark with me again. Thanks to all you who are following along on our podcast, and if you're not, don't forget to hit the follow button. So today we're talking about sounds, and if you're dyslexic, do sounds work for you? Do you learn with sounds? So recently we were in a friend's house, and we were having a chat about dyslexia, and she said she finds it very difficult to pronounce some words, and her other family members are always laughing at her. And she said, is that a sign of dyslexia? And the simple answer is, yes, it is. And I think as a Davis facilitator with 17 years experience, I know this is definitely the case, but not just from my Davis work, but also from living with Mark, because Mark has a very entertaining way sometimes of pronouncing words. Now,
well, that doesn't mean my way is wrong. It just means it's my way.
So there's one particular word that we find very funny, which escapes my memory at the moment, but I might come back to it later. But I do know there's one definite one that we all laugh hysterically about. So Mark cannot differentiate between the pronunciation of a tie that you'd wear around your neck with a suit and a toy that a kid might play with. Yeah. So they both sound like tie.
They do. They both sound the same. And actually, that reminds me, many years ago when I was doing my Latin in school, yes, I did used to speak Latin. I think I have four words of Latin. We used to do the verbs. And I always remember standing against the wall waiting to get a slap across the hand because you had to do the verbs. And the person before me did his verbs, and I copied him. But I said, la, 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 halu. And I was told that's all wrong. So it's actually, the Latin is the same as English. If I don't see the word or picture the word, I cannot say it. Now, all the simple words I can. But, like, people's Irish names, like some Irish names for some people, there's not a chance in hell.
Oh, like Siobhan. If someone says it, you can say it. But when you see it written down, you have a clue what
I'm
it
lost,
says.
Completely lost. But like, yeah, the amount of people, this person we're talking about, the amount of people who don't realize that what picture thinkers are. They just don't understand the concept of you don't see the word. So, and the easy way to do this is if you don't see the word house, how are you going to know what it is?
Yeah. So with a house, though, the house is different because everyone knows what a house looks like. So you have a picture of a house. Therefore, you have something to relate to the sound. Yeah. So a house is a noun. So all nouns have pictures.
No, but you didn't have a picture. Okay. If you just didn't never had a picture of that house ever.
Oh, well, if you'd never seen a house, yes. No, you have nothing to relate to.
Say you live in some remote part of the world. Never heard of a house. You don't know what a house is.
How would you be living in?
Car. No, but it's true. Like, if words that you've never heard before, I've never seen before, or even there with people changing sentences. Like, I'm in business. Mm-hmm. So I know people who change their business. But now what they do, they go to a dance club and they pivot their business. So now people pivot a business.
Yeah,
they don't change a business.
You are right. It's very common now on a lot of platforms.
Oh, everyone's pivoting.
Everybody's pivoting.
There's more people pivoting on the roads and walking around the country than I've seen.
We had to look it up the other day to figure out what pivoting your business actually means. But it means just changing direction.
Can you imagine going to your bank manager saying, I'm pivoting my business at the moment. Oh, that's fantastic.
So another couple of words that Mark pronounces interestingly, so he struggles to pronounce the word specifically.
Yeah, and specifically, and did I get that right?
No. Did you say it again?
Specifically, did I get it wrong?
You did, but and usually, if he wasn't thinking about it consciously, he would say Pacific.
And you know the word dyslexia? It took me ages to say that word without thinking.
Yeah, and a friend of ours can't say it.
Can't say it at all.
She always rings me up to give me some advice and says, there's a program on about dyslexia.
Yeah, and it used to drive me nuts that I'd have to pause for a second to see the word in my mind and then say it.
Yeah, and a lot of people still struggle to say, I mean, I say dyscalculia, but some people would contradict that and say dyscalculia.
Well, I always ask, who in the world thought of the most difficult word to spell in the English language for a thing to do with spelling and maths and all? Like, oh, maths, you're not bad at maths, you have dyscalculus. Dyscalculia.
Or dyscalculia.
Like, try and spell that. Yeah. Can you spell that? Without looking?
Yes, I can.
Okay. There you go. You have 70 years experience.
Yeah, after looking at it for 17 years, it's like when I was in school and big long scientific words. I mean, most people remembered them because you used them continuously. Mm. But if you didn't, then it would be hard to retain the spelling. And the strange thing is that when I get psychologist reports for my students, I mean, the vast majority of them will say the kids have maybe a speech and language delay or sensory processing delay. And then they'll go on, though. So sensory processing, so your ears are one of your senses. So they're obviously not processing the sounds of words correctly. And then they'll go on to recommend various different programs. And most of these programs focus on phonics, which are sounds.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. As we've just discussed, the people do not process the sounds of words very often.
We'll take my Italian or my speaking
Latin
idea. Imagine, now, I've heard someone recently, some young kid came up to us or was telling us about the spelling as they do, and like the ha, the who, aha, and they did a whole sentence like that. Now, that means nothing. They're not learning anything.
Well, that's not a spelling, is it? That's a sound.
Yeah, but they thought it was a spelling.
No,
and
I know.
That's how they've been learning to read.
Because there is a bit of confusion in schools lately.
A lot of confusion in schools lately, not just a bit. So like, you have to be careful, because I think if you have someone who is not good at reading and who's not good at maths and is not good at other stuff and maybe good at maths, maybe good at bad at English or vice versa, you can't teach them that subject in such a way that they hate it even more.
Yeah.
You have to find a way that actual like, it's like when I used to read the Harry Potter books to the kids. The characters in the Harry Potter book that I told the kids about one night were different than the characters that you told the next night, because I couldn't pronounce their names, so I made them up. And the kids used to say, that wasn't the name yesterday. That's it. It was a different name.
Yeah, because you really struggled with Hermione.
Hermione.
But then you see, once, because the books came out before the movie, and I think once you saw the movie and you saw the character, you had a picture to associate with the character and the sound of the word.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that I suppose the difference with Davis is that, you know, we recognize that phonics and sounds are not the most efficient way to teach a dyslexic learner. And if you read any of Ron Davis's books, he will tell you that to truly master a word, you need to know what it looks like. So you need to have a 3D visual picture of what it looks like. You need to know what it sounds like when you say it out loud, and you need to know the meaning of it. So what the word means. So, for example, like the example you gave, house. So when I said the word house, I heard the sound. I connected that to my visual idea of what a house looks like. And I know what it means. It's a place where people can live. But so there's so many words that don't automatically bring a picture to mind. And for example, two that you always confuse are being, B-E-E-N, and B-E-I-N-G.
Always.
And the difficulty, everyone goes, oh, but you can use spell check. Spell check only recognizes wrongly spelled words.
Yeah, because I don't spell them wrong.
No, you spell them right. You just use the wrong one in the wrong place always.
And their
favorite one is B-E-E-N. So that's your default one.
Yeah, I love that word. It's a fantastic word.
It is. And usually it doesn't make sense what you've written, because you've written the wrong word and the spell check is saying, that's all good though, Mark.
That's not true now. It doesn't make sense to you. It makes perfect sense to me.
Because you think it's B-E-I-N-G.
Yeah, and the other one is there, T-H-E-R-E, and there, T-H-E-I-R.
I mean, they completely different meanings, because T-H-E-R-E is a place, and T-H-E-I-R is belonging to them. So by picking the wrong word, it completely changes the whole meaning of what is being talked about. So I think what we're trying to say today to parents is, if you think that your child is dyslexic, or if you notice that they're struggling over the little words in books, like there's a whole list of them. In schools here, they call them the Dalsh list. Then perhaps they are dyslexic. And if what's offered to them is a phonics approach, it's probably not going to be successful.
No, I think it's going to make it worse, and it may put them completely off the subject, which is even worse, because like, if someone from a young age gets to not like reading, it's very hard to turn that around later on. because they built up barriers in the head and they built up reasons why they don't want to read. And it could be just simply they've been taught wrong. Like, we've seen it. Like, look at carpenters, electricians, painters, accountants and all. There's really good ones because they've been taught really well, and the really bad ones have been taught the wrong way. Absolutely. So it's like everything.
So I think we'll wrap it up there for today. I think we've waffled on for long enough on Waffling Wednesday.
I've never waffled in my life.
So apparently someone else told me today was Waffling Wednesday, so Mark and me today.
Must you waffle every day?
have been waffling about why sounds do not work for dyslexic thinkers. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to hit the follow button. If you have anything that you're interested in hearing us discussing, please contact us. You can get me on all social media platforms as Anne-Marie Beggs or the Paragraph Challenge. And Mark will tell you where you can contact him and follow him.
Yeah, if you want to follow me, I have a podcast. I don't waffle. It's a very good podcast. But you can just find me on the rightframeacademy.com. Or if you want to hear my children's stories, it's the Umbrella Girls and the Tree, T-R-E-E people.
Because you can't say three.
Yeah, so it's the Umbrella Girls and the Tree People, which is on all platforms as well. So, and there's about 16, 17 chapters up there, and there's more to come. Thanks very much for listening.
Take care. Bye.